Good morning, y'all, and happy Lord's Day. Thank you. Guys, you ever have one of those weeks where everything just seems to be like crazy and out of control, and you just kind of are excited for the weekend to get there because you're like, okay, the week is over, right? I had one of those weeks this past week. It was finals week, right? So students were being stressed out and getting through school, and finals ended on Wednesday. On Monday, we went to the sandbox. A bunch of Colonel Catholics went to the sandbox in Holman to play some beach volleyball. I kid you not, literally, one of our students stepped off of the steps onto the sand, walked about 10 steps, rolled her ankle, and broke it. She had surgery on her ankle and her leg, and she has one big old long plate and 11 screws. Just walking on the sand. I'm like, what? I was like, we got to make up some kind of great story for this because that's just not fun. I was walking on the sand, broke my ankle. Maybe somebody pushed her. I don't know. So that happened on Monday. Tuesday, our buddy Lars, altar server, his kidney transplant, his number shot sky high, the worst they've ever been, even before his kidney transplant. So they're like, you got to get to the hospital immediately. So he goes to New Orleans and begins going through all kind of tests and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm like, man, we got to get to New Orleans. And so Tuesday evening, drove to New Orleans with one of the students. And he goes through a whole week of rigorous testings and draining his kidney because it had fluid in it and all kind of crazy stuff. He's back home as of yesterday. But anyway, so we're driving to New Orleans. We pull off of QEP Long, and we're getting onto Jefferson. As we are doing that, I get a phone call from one of our parishioners, Dr. Heath Mathern. Many of you know what have happened with this, right? He's just frantic. Father, Father, pray, pray. My little boy fell in the pool. Like, whoa. So little baby Mace had fallen in the pool, and they didn't know how long he was in the pool, face down. His mom ends up waking up. She was not feeling well. She gets up, and she goes and pulls him out of the pool, does CPR on her little boy for about 7 minutes, and finally water comes out, and the ambulance got there, and they air medded him to Children's in New Orleans. So as I'm getting off of the overpass, going to New Orleans to get to Ochsner, Children's was 6 miles away. So I was able to go to the hospital, be with the family, anoint little baby Mace, and pray with the family and just be there for them, you know. And so on Tuesday, we thought that today was going to be a very different different time, right? But Thibodeau woke up, and people started praying. Y'all blew my mind. Like, people started praying. They came to the Adoration Chapel. They were in the big church. They were in their homes. They were praying the rosaries. Word got out everywhere. It was absolutely incredible. And because of the power of prayer, little baby Mace, 2 days later, went home with no side effects, no brain damage, and everything is perfectly fine. Incredible miracle, right? So that was my week. Priests just work on weekends. So, and then we had graduations, of course, last night. So you go from the craziness and the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and all those things to the joys of graduation, right? So we are definitely in this season of graduation from colleges through high schools. And there's a wonderful song that's a gospel song that I love listening to. It's called Moving On. And the very beginning of it says, I'm closing chapters, I'm turning pages, glory to glory, I'm moving on, right? I love that. It's this time in our lives, the seasons that we're in, where chapters are closing, pages are turning, and new chapters are beginning. But those first few chapters are very, very important in the lives of our young people, right? Because that's what builds into the next part of their life, into the next part of their chapter. And so it's really neat for us to be able to realize that it's up to us as young people that we write our own story. You and I, we've written our own story. Some of us have a lot of stories, a lot of chapters, and some are just beginning. You know, it reminds me of the great King Solomon, David's son. He started writing his story. Whenever he was a young man, he was an incredible young man. He had a great faith in God. Like God told him, Solomon, ask of me anything you want, and I'm going to give it to you. I'll give you the kingdoms, whatever you want, Solomon, you ask me. And Solomon, his youthfulness, he says, Lord, I just want wisdom so that I can lead your people well. Man, what a noble desire. And so God gave him wisdom, one of the wisest men that the world had ever seen. Solomon started out really good and really strong, but as you follow Solomon's story, his story ends up really turned upside down. He ends up having about 300 plus wives. He starts worshiping pagan gods, building pagan temples. He went from building the temple of God and the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth to a man who got turned upside down and lost his heart and started worshiping pagan gods. So it's important that we end well, that we write our story and that we end well. It's really sad whenever the best of our lives is behind us, whenever the best should be in front of us at this point, especially our college students that are graduating. Stephen Covey, a wonderful writer, he says, begin with the end in mind, right? If you start with what you want, your ending point, then you're going to be able to blaze that trail and make that path and accomplish what you need to accomplish. If you start with the end, what's my purpose? What am I doing? Where do I want to go? Where do I want to end up? I want to tie that right into the Acts of the Apostles today. Because what we see in the Acts of the Apostles, guys, this is our history. As Catholics, if you want to know where you came from, what is your history, read the Acts of the Apostles. This is the founding of the Catholic Church as it grows from its infancy, from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus told Peter, Peter, you're a rock, and I'm going to build my church upon you. And we see this magnificent unfolding of the church in all of the Acts of the Apostles. And today in chapter 14, we see the church growing. And this is how it grew, guys. Listen to this. They begin spreading the gospel and bringing people closer to Christ. It says they exhorted them to continue the faith and saying that through many tribulations, that is how we will enter the kingdom of God. See, the early church knew that suffering was important, that tribulations had a purpose. Like whenever they got persecuted, whenever they were literally laying down their lives being persecuted, they didn't sit there and complain about how bad things were. They rejoiced. Why? Because Jesus said, blessed are you when people persecute you and utter every sort of insult against you. For my name's sake, the kingdom of God is yours. You see, they knew that their goal was heaven. They wanted to attain the kingdom of God. And so whatever it took on this side of heaven to get there, they were going to endure it. And they were going to press forward with everything they had. So they understood through trials that they would reach heaven. And so I think as I prayed with this, that's one of the questions. What am I reaching for? What am I pressing forward for? Right? It's a good question for us to ask. What's my most important thing? Am I just trying to climb the ladder of success? Am I just trying to make it through graduation? Well, if all you got is graduation in mind, well, there's a lot of life after graduation. What are you going to do next? Right? There's that great question. What's the end? What's my goal? And whatever that goal is, that's what gives us the endurance. Y'all know that as well as I do, to undergo whatever trials you got to go through because you want to achieve something. You see, the early church, what they wanted to achieve was heaven. And so they went through it. And they did whatever they had to do to get there. In the book of Revelation, from our second reading today, this is really a cool image. We see the new heaven and the new earth, right? And it's coming down from heaven. And the old earth has passed away. And I love this. It says, and the sea was no more. Odd. Anytime I'm reading scriptures and something odd stands out to me, there's got to be something in it. And what we see in this odd statement, why did John say that? The new heavens and new earth is coming down and there's no more sea. There's no more water. There's no more ocean. There's no more Pacific. There's no more Gulf of Mexico. No more Grand Isle. That's not too far away. But there's no more. In ancient times, the sea, we look at the sea and we're like, man, I can't wait to get out to the beach. It's peaceful. It's tranquil. You know, I just want to go put my feet in the sand. I don't want to break my ankle, but I want to get on the sand. We see the sea as something altogether different. In ancient times, the sea was a place of work. It was laborious. It was dangerous, right? They'd be out on the sea and they were working the boats. They'd be out on the sea and the sea could turn on them in a heartbeat. The sea, I guess you could say, was an image of chaos. You never knew what it was going to do and how it was going to turn on you. You never knew what you were going to have to endure because of the sea. So whenever you see this new heaven and a new earth, this place is going to be void of chaos. There's no sea. There's no danger, right? There's no death. I think that's just really important as we see, what are we shooting for? We're shooting for heaven. What does heaven look like? Well, heaven isn't a place of chaos. It's not a place of danger. So what is heaven? The Lord says, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. I love that word, dwelling. It's really, the word is tabernacle, right? Behold, God tabernacles with men. Right here in the church, we have this. This is our tabernacle. This is where the very dwelling of God is in the Holy Eucharist. Anytime we want to come to be with Jesus, we only have to come into a Catholic church, and the dwelling place of God is right here. He tabernacles with us. Right? So that's where he says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. It's here. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. I love this. Here's what heaven's like, guys. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. There will be no mourning, no crying, no pain, or any form of thing. Has all been wiped away. Like, that's incredible. That's an awesome feeling, right? I'll never forget. My first assignment was to St. Lucie's and St. Luke's as a priest, the two African-American parishes, right? And I had a lot to know. I had a lot to grow in the African-American community. I was very unfamiliar with the beauty of their culture. And one of the things that they do is they have funerals that are a whole lot different than our funerals, right? In our parishes, we're real quiet in the funeral. We don't even want to, like, cry too loud, right? Because we don't want people to really see. In African-American communities, oh, boo, they express themselves. And I had never experienced that before. So here I am, this little white priest, and I'm just standing up by my chair, and they have that part where they go and close the casket, right? Well, the mom of the husband who had passed away, they were elderly. First of all, the daughter stands up, and she starts screaming. And she's like, I ain't going to talk to my daddy no more. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, wow, this is different. And then they come up to the casket, and the mom begins beating on his chest. And she's like, no more sorrow, no more pain. And like, boo, if you keep doing that, he's going to resuscitate, right? Like, you did. But she understood that where is he at? He's in heaven. And in heaven, there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more any of that. In heaven, it's absolute bliss. It's absolute perfection. It's absolute everything we ever want in this life that we cannot attain in this life, because this life is not heaven. And so we all have this desire in our hearts for people not to suffer. And that's a good desire. We all have this desire in our hearts that people wouldn't have to go through the pain that they go through. We have a desire in our heart that they not go through the tribulations that they're going to have to go through. That's a good desire. But guys, that'll never be attained here. That desire inside of the human heart is the infinite longing of the human heart for heaven. That's the only place we're going to get it. And it's built into us. And so on this side of the new heavens and the new earth, there will be trials and tribulations. There will be sorrows. There will be pain. There will be things that happen to us in this side of heaven. But if we endure them well, if we go through our tribulations well, and we unite them to Christ on the cross, and we realize that He is much bigger than anything that we're going to go through, and that we keep our eyes fixed on the end, what is our end? What is that? It's heaven. Then, guys, we can go through anything. And we can press through as a community and believers amongst the greatest tribulations and crosses, because it's all worth it. Because it's about where we're going. It's about the end. It's about heaven and being with the Father for all of eternity in a place where there's no more sorrow or pain, no more struggles, no more death. Death no longer has victory there, right? And so that's what we're longing for. And so let us, in our day today, where's our struggles? What are we going through? What does this past week look like for you? For some, it was pretty intense this past week. as they were face to face with one of the greatest tragedies a parent could ever imagine. But God was faithful and pulled them through and has given glory to Him and His power. And so let us keep our eyes fixed, guys. Refocus them if you have to. Take them off of the struggles of the world and refocus them on Christ so that we can press forward and continue to press on into that beautiful gift that the Lord calls us to, which is to be with Him forever in heaven. Amen.